Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Hello, and welcome to Farm View. Well, as usual, it's Kieran O'Connor here with your weekly farming programme. And once again, a busy show for you this week. On this week's show, I'll have an update on the implications and indeed the impact of bird flu on the poultry industry in Ireland. I'll talk to IFA's National Chair, Nigel Sweetman. We'll also have the good news that we heard earlier in the week that Dawn Meats have captured the prestigious World Best Steak Award at the World Steak Challenge in London earlier this week. And I'll talk to Ken McGrath of Ashley Farms, the very successful pig enterprise in West Waterford, about their latest innovation and indeed their animal welfare procedures on their farms in West Waterford. And plus, as always, we'll have our farming calendar.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, devastation last week, particularly with people involved in the poultry business, with the announcement of a bird flu outbreak in Carlow, followed up by one in Meath, and then earlier this week in Monaghan. To discuss this and the implications for the poultry industry in Ireland, I'm delighted to be joined by IFA Poultry Chair Nigel Sweetman from West Cork. Nigel, thanks for taking our call.
Thank you, Kev.
Nigel, devastation there last week for the industry. I know that you put out an appeal for people to house their birds, but what's the latest update? We had the outbreak in Carlow, Meath and Monaghan. Any outbreak since?
No, thank goodness, and we're very hopeful. I suppose the history here is that the first outbreak was in Fota in Cork in the Wildlife Park. And at that time, I personally called for a regionalised housing order because I thought it was a sensible thing to do. I always tell people 90% of infection occurs by direct contact with wild birds. So my reasoning here was that if we could take the contact out of place, we would seriously reduce our risk. And the department finally succumbed to the housing order, and it was introduced possibly definitely too late for the two men that are already confined, but hopefully at a stage now where we will confine the disease, and that's the important thing here.
Nigel, the implication for people not involved in the industry, obviously we're in a critical time coming up the turkey from the turkey market alone, but in general, the impact of an outbreak of the bird flu for the various flocks, the implication for the industry.
We'll start with the basics. When bird flu hits a commercial flock, it is fatal for practically all the birds, and it's an agonising, horrible death. Their lungs clog up with it is basically a flu, a really bad flu. So the implications here of it getting in, particularly in Monaghan, was very worrying, where it's in the middle of a heartland area, and the effects that it has on those not directly involved. I had a farmer rang me this week that was due to get restocked with birds today, but that now has been postponed. And naturally, like, we can't be adding fuel to the fire. So like, there's unintended consequences here.
And Nigel, would it be a case of the more intensive guys, the biosecurity on, like yourself and people involved in intensive poultry production, that isn't the worry really. It's the guy who's a few hens out the back, who's a few chicks, who's a few ducks, and particularly a few turkeys running free range out the back. This is the issue, and getting them housed. And as you say, probably a bit late doing it by Monday, but at least from Monday last, everyone has housed, and hopefully all the birds, particularly the guy with the few out the back garden as such.
Yeah, that's always been the worry. It's the person that has maybe doing 100 turkeys for Christmas in the back garden and is convinced that his birds are immune to it and that it's all conspiracy theory. No, this is for real. And these are the fellows that need to come with us. And the danger with these people, like the person with the five hens in the back, these are your pets and you should want the best for them. And like, the best advice for them is to keep them healthy, and to do that, they need to be kept inside. And like, there are practical solutions here. I saw a TikTok of a man that keeps 10 hens in his back garden, and he's put them into the polytunnel. So there are practical solutions.
Well, that's a great idea. To use the polytunnel. Yeah, that's thinking outside the box. And listen, what's very important here, of course, from a human health point of view, there's not an issue, really.
Oh, there's not an issue. And like, if anybody needs reinforcement of that, it's the fact that when there is an outbreak, that all birds on the farm are culled and incinerated. They're kept out of the food chain, and because there is very little risk. The only place where we're seeing risk of this is where wild animals are eating large quantities of infected birds, and that's where we have seen small crossover, but there's little or no danger to the humans from this.
As I said, the biosecurity is top class with the large poultry units right across the country, as you say, particularly up in Cavan Monaghan in West Cork, a lot of them here also in West Waterford. As regards the turkey market and people with a fear because of this bird flu, it's important that the general public realise there's no problem here with human health and it shouldn't affect the turkey market from that point of view.
That's what we've been very keen to stress here, like that there is no danger here, particularly through consumption. The only place where it ever does come into play is where the people that are very in close contact with wild infected birds or with domestically infected birds. And that's not an issue here, because if you have an infected bird, you call the department. And that's, I suppose, what we're urging people to do, is to liaise with the department. There's a hotline on their website, and anybody that sees wild birds sick or dying to notify the department, because it's critically important that we keep a track of where this is in the wild bird population as well.
So just to recap, Nigel, as regards the housing implication, from last Monday all birds are to be housed, no matter how small, is a dozen, 2 dozen, 100 hens, turkeys, chicks, you name it. As regards, when could you see this being lifted, number one, and obviously good news that there's been no further outbreak since all of this, since the Monaghan outbreak?
Yeah. I'm often asked that question, and this disease thrives in cold, wet weather, contrary to public opinion. What we actually need to kill this disease is warm, very hot weather. So I don't think we're going to see that for a while, but that and the migratory birds, when they leave Ireland, they take the big threat with them, because it arrives every autumn when the birds come from the Arctic and from the northern Russia.
Well,
so when they depart, they'll take the threat with them, and because the livability of the virus in feces goes down to one day in dry weather, but in this sort of weather, you can survive for up to a fortnight, and that's the danger.
Well, listen, Nigel, in fairness to you and all involved, particularly you as IFA poultry chairman, you've been out there with the message, the government then announcing last Monday that all birds to be housed, no matter how small a number you have. But listen, well done, keep up the good work, and let's hope we've seen the end of bird flu here in Ireland. And that's IFA poultry chair Nigel Sweetman. Nigel, thanks for taking a call, and let's hope we'll have no further outbreaks.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Kevin.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, earlier this week, I travelled out to Ashley Farms in Knocklidlock, just outside Dungarvan, to speak to Ken McGrath, part of Ashley Farms, and to tell us all about it. I got a chance to talk to Ken himself. Ken, the background to Ashley Farms, of course, the McGrath family from Ballinamila, involved in pigs for generations.
Yeah, hi, Kieran. So I started with my grandfather David, and really developed on through my dad Jim and my mother Eleanor. Myself and Jason took over the business in 2020. We have 3 units in West Waterford, so Cadiso Bay, Knocklidlock, where we are today, and the home farm Ballinamila. We employ 25 staff. We have 1,800 sows across the 3 units. We do our own home milling, and we have our own nucleus breeding unit, and we have a dedicated R&D team as well.
But definitely what you've done here at Ashley Farms, you mentioned the 3 various units, you've brought pig production and pig farming to a different standard that you've seen internationally, but you've brought it back to Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose it would be maybe a trait, or I suppose just how we were brought up, was to look outside of our own farm gate and see what's happening across the world. We would have taken a lot of influence, I think, from Denmark. Jason and Dad before him, we'd be very tuned into what's happening in international markets. So these farms, and this farm here that we're here today, this was built in 2017, 550 cell unit. And we've a lot of very exciting, I suppose, innovation going on here today. We're producing sort of north of 16,000-17,000 pigs
per year.
And from an innovation point of view, we have a number of things happening. So we do a lot of work on welfare. We have larger, we'd say, farrowing pens than you would then typically have in an Irish context. And we're doing a lot of work on CO2 emissions as well.
I saw that, and the way the 3 units work together, so you might briefly outline from Ballinamila, from Kinsale Bay, and of course back up here to Knocklidlock.
Yeah. So Cadiso Bay or Kinsale Bay is our nucleus breeding farm. So all of our stock, our new stock of young maiden females comes from Cadiso Bay. We actually sell stock into the Irish market as well. We use a Danish genetic, and it's proven to be exceptionally good.
So you're in big demand?
Yeah, yeah, we've well stocked.
Yeah.
Our demand is
good.
Our supply is totally taken, actually. So that's the start to the whole journey.
Okay.
Now, out there as well, we do all our own milling. And that's a great site for us. We actually have we have solar there as well. So that helps to keep the cost down on the milling side. But the Cadiso Bay farm, it effectively feeds all the other farms.
So sustainability is key to the structure of your animal welfare. I've been through the unit up here. My God, first of all, the smell which you associate with pig farms isn't here, but also you have some very exciting developments happening in the new year, which I think is really groundbreaking.
Yeah. So we partnered with a company called Glossport Bio a number of years ago at a very early stage in their development. They have an additive that goes into slurry that significantly reduces methane and ammonia. Because it's reducing the methane, it's not actually turning, it's not getting rid of it entirely. It just essentially cuts the bugs that produce methane to zip. So there's none produced. So what we're doing is rolling that out throughout the entire farm, that product, so that it dosed into the slurry, keeps our methane emissions and ammonia down. Yes. Then we're going to take that slurry and we're going to digest it in a new anaerobic digester on the farm, which and construction of that is starting in January.
And of course, that'll be able to supply the electricity for the unit here. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's great. Like, we're taking a byproduct that has energy inside of it and we're actually utilizing it to generate energy that we will use on this farm.
Because of the innovation here and what you've done and bringing pig production to a very high standard, is the market delivering that price for you? Are you getting premium price for your pigs as they leave the unit up here in Knocknetlock?
Yeah, I'd say we're doing reasonably well as of today, in fact, because especially due to the welfare standards that we have, we can command a really good price with the factories. But they're very much aware of what we're doing around sustainability as well, and are very tied into the fact that this conversation is now continuing to offering better prices for farmers.
Sustainability is such a buzzword, but for a pig unit like this, it's so intense, it's so important. The standards are at the highest level, the safety is there, the food safety, animal welfare, all ties in really from an environmental sustainable point of view. You're as strong as your weakest link, basically.
Yeah, you've got to look at all avenues all of the time, right? So for us, that old adage, you know, you don't go to the puck, you go to where the puck is going. So we can see what's happening in agriculture. Sustainability is a key part of it and it will be for the future. So we really want to be part of that and we want to drive actually changes ourselves as farmers and implement technologies in a really good way.
And the way the family works, your dad, Jim, your brother, Jason, it's such a great unit, the way it's working and striving for that innovation. And really, you're covering pigs from birth to slaughter.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Jason and I work. It's very clear the responsibilities that we have. We don't need to cross each other because we just work on the things that we're strongest at. That's worked really well so far.
Yeah. And of course, the staff, and indeed met some of your staff here today. It's fantastic that you have staff here for a number of years. So there's a great bond, there's great teamwork in Ashley Farms.
Yeah, it's a big thing. You know, we're employing 25 people. It's very important for us. Every farm has its own team and they work really closely together. But we also come together as a group very often as well to share kind of lessons or things, improvements that could be made across farm, because no farm is exactly the same.
And number of pigs that you put through the unit here every year, is it two cycles every year?
Yeah, generally around two cycles. So we're producing north of 35 pigs per sow here.
Okay.
Which would be very good numbers. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, it's fantastic. I'm also delighted that you're nominated for the Waterford Business Award in the innovation category. I think a well-deserved nomination. But look, Ken, to you, Jason, and everyone involved, well done. Keep up the great work. I'm really looking forward to the new innovation in the new year. It's a very exciting project. Well done. You're always looking at innovation. My God, you're doing it in spades up here in Ashley Farms. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Ciarán.
Farmview with Ciarán O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
And welcome back to part two of Farmview. Now let's have a look at some items from our farming calendar. Firstly, turning to our farmer markets and country markets. And as I say, every week we have a huge array of top quality farm fresh artisan food available every week across Waterford City and County. Saturday mornings, Tramore Farmers Market, Priest Road, Tramore. Strabley Farmers Market runs every Saturday from 9 till 1. And also Waterford Farmers Market in John Roberts Square. Thursday, Dungarvan Farmers Market, Grattan Square runs from 9 till 2, while on Friday mornings you have Waterford Farmers Market, St Olaf's Hall from 9 till 2. Also on Friday mornings, Dungarvan Country Markets, Causeway Tennis Club and Abbeyside, again running from 9 until 2. The Irish Farmers Journal annual Dairy Day 25 takes place this Saturday, UL Sports Arena at the University in Limerick. Always a fantastic day, runs from 9 till 5, Dairy Day 25 in UL Sports Arena in Limerick. Turning to our livestock marts, Waterford Ross Mart this Saturday, general cattle sales from 9, calf sales from from 10. Sheep sales every Monday also from 10. Next weaning sale is on Monday next, the 17th, and every Monday for the season. While Richie also tells us that their annual winter fat stock sale will take place on Saturday the 6th of December. Tony Dungarvan, Mark General Cattle and Calf Sale, of course, every Monday from 11, while the next weaning sale is on Thursday the 20th from 11:30, fortnightly thereafter. So entries now being taken for the next weaning sale at Dungarvan Mart. Now, the final Chagas War for Kilkenny Autumn webinar series, well, the final webinar takes place on Tuesday next, that's Tuesday the 18th, How to Grow Additional Farm Income with Grants Up to 200,000. For more information, go on to chagas.ie. That's the Chagas War for Kilkenny Autumn webinar series on Tuesday night next at 8 p.m. Turning to our Point to Point front this Sunday, we've the Golden Vale Hunts Point to Point at Turtulla Thurles. Also on Sunday, we've the Weekly Hunt Point to Point at Tinahealy. And finally, Michael Hogue was on to remind us that the Old Parish National School are holding a major tractor run and vintage car and bike run as well this Sunday. That's Sunday the 16th. Registration from 11 o'clock in John Paul's Old Parish. Take off from 12, and there'll be tea refreshments before and after at John Paul's in Old Parish, all in aid of Old Parish National School.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, some great news earlier this week that Don Meats won at the World's Best Steak Award at the World Steak Challenge 2025, which took place in London. Great news for Don Meats. We're delighted to be joined by a very happy man indeed, Paul Nolan of Don Meats. Paul, what an achievement. When you see it in black and white, World Steak Challenge, the world's best steak, what an achievement for Don Meats and everyone involved.
Yeah, thank you, Kieran. And as you said at the start, I'm happy, but I'm also very proud of the team, a team stretching from those who produce the beef to our own processors through to everybody involved. It's been a remarkable achievement. And I think it's, you know, above and beyond all, it's testimony to what we've always said in Ireland, there's no better beef. The quality of our grass-feed product is not only unique, but very special.
When I see the citation, the steak named Europe's Best Steak and the World's Best Grass-Fed Sirloin, and then Don Meats also wins the World's Best Grass-Fed Ribeye title. So the grass-fed, that is the origin green. That is the message we want to get out there. But when it's announced that you've won the World's Best Steak Award, it really, really hits home, the achievement.
It does. It does, Kieran, indeed. And just to explain a bit about that, as you rightly said, when we won the category, first of all, World Grass-Fed, and then World Overall Steak. Obviously, we're competing with the other traditional method of producing beef in other parts of the world, known as grain-fed beef. And the judges said that what stood us out was the succulence and the flavour, because obviously everybody presenting a steak to a World Steak Challenge, they expected as a minimum to be tender. So I think that's fantastic. And what we're really delighted about it is that, you know, down through the years, the loyalty of chefs in high-end restaurants will always stick with the product because they believe in it. Retailers who stack it and put it at the premium end of the shelves around Europe, it's testimony to them. And, you know, we're just so delighted that what 30 million meals that we do out of Ireland every year, well, people know now that they're getting the very best. And indeed, locally, it's amazing. The product that we actually sent in was the current line that we're doing for Lidl. And so everybody there is obviously extremely happy and proud as well.
Like the world's, the overall, there's all various categories. And you might tell us a little bit about the background to the award. The overall world best steak, the ultimate winner in the 2025 competition. As regards, how does this competition work? You might just give us the background of this World Steak Challenge.
Sure. Well, what they do is for the last couple of years, they've gone to a very big building, I guess, in Holland. It's a meat technology building. And in that, they invite judges from all over the world and they provide them with over 2 or 3 days, as I said, about 500 different steaks broken into fillet and ribeye and strip line and so on. And the judges taste them and score them. And they have no idea, obviously, where the product is coming from. That's kept away from the judges for obvious reasons. And at the end of the day, then they give their deliberations and say, look, there's the best in this is for a gold medal, the best in that for a gold medal, but they reserve then the higher placings. And that's announced at a formal dinner, which happened in London earlier this week, at which the entire world meat industry from Australia to Finland is represented. And we were so proud climbing the steps to receive our awards, because not only did we get that, but we also got a European best for our Wagyu beef, which was, again, fantastic. It's something we've been working on recently.
Brilliant.
And that's a great fillip as well. So, yeah. Big haul of medals for Ireland, not just for Dawn, but what Dawn are obviously particularly proud about was getting the overall
world best steak.
World recognition.
It's fantastic.
And can I just say, Kieran, if I haven't said it already, you know, we all know how dear our proteins are today, but isn't it wonderful that at least if you're buying beef, you know that you're getting the world's best, which is great.
And of course, when you look at Australia, Argentina, Brazil, all the other countries involved in this to be the world's number one at a time when the Mercosur one, we know about the potential of what's happening with Mercosur and imported beef from Brazil and other countries. The timing couldn't be better because Board B are doing great work as regards Origin Green, but this really exemplifies and really epitomises the grass-fed system we have here in Ireland.
Indeed, Kieran, it is the ultimate validation. It certainly is. And, you know, it's special in another way too. I think the message that we certainly continue to throw to Brussels is that Irish farmers have proven time and time again they can and do produce the best in the world, but they must be given the simple thing, assurance and a clear path as to how they're to do their business, because that confidence, if nurtured correctly, just shows we're capable of doing anything. The counter to that is, you know, next generation farmers that we need coming through, they need to see a clear path out there to do their business. And whilst this is a great, I suppose, fillip and encouragement for them, they need also the bigger picture out there. And that's what we're working so hard behind the scenes as well to try and help with.
And of course, you've done huge work with your trial farm and that, looking at the grass base. And one must credit the farmers, particularly down here in Waterford in the South East, supplying into Dawn Meats. Great to have a Waterford company like Dawn Meats. I'm sure the late, great Peter Queely would be absolutely thrilled looking down to know that the World Steak Challenge, the world's best steak, has come from Dawn Meats. But full credit to the farmers who are the first to acknowledge and to be acknowledged of their grass-based system, a fantastic quality we have coming into the Dawn plants.
Peter and John Queely and their partner Dan Brown would certainly take great pride in what has been achieved. And I can still probably see Peter in my mind's eyes with that twinkle in his eyes saying, told you so. They've always known how good what we have, and now the world knows, which is wonderful.
Well, Paul, it's fantastic story. When I got the press release, I had to look at it twice. Dawn Meats winning the World Best Steak Award, the overall World Best Steak, the ultimate winner in the 2025 World Steak Challenge, which was announced earlier in the week in London. Listen, congrats to you and all involved in Dawn Meats, and to all the farmer suppliers supplying this quality grass-based product to Dawn Meats. Congrats, well done. Enjoy the celebrations, Paul.
Thank you, and as you said, that's the key. None could do it on their own. It's a team effort from all involved, so we really appreciate it to them too. Thank you very much, Kieran.
And before I go on the racing front, again, a good week for local Waterford connections. Cross-channel wins for Pat Phelan, of course, Ballyneen UK-based trainer at Lingfield. Also wins for Dungarvan jock Sean Houlihan. Sean Houlihan had two winners last week at Newbury and Exeter. And also win for young Strabbley jock Jack Power at Kelso up in Scotland as well. Back home, Knockeen Butlerstone trainer Henry de Bromwood once again had a good week. Henry Saddle winners at Clonmel, Gordon Park at Navan. With Kappa trainer and indeed rider Declan Queely keeping up his good run, taking the bumper at Nace in fine style last weekend. While on the point-to-point front, we wins for Dungarvan owner Stephen Ahern and Modeligo trainer Pat Crowley at the Drumahan point-to-point outside Mallow. Well, that's my lot for this week's programme. Once again, my thanks to Ollie for all his help in putting this week's programme together. So from myself, Kieran O'Connor, stay safe, and hopefully I'll have your company again same time next week.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.